now listening to Triples in Ecstasy, a production of Holosuite Media. Tune in to our live show every Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
This is Admiral James T. Kirk of Federation Starship Enterprise. Your presence here is an act of war. You have 2 minutes to surrender your crew and your vessel, or we will destroy you.
Admiral Kirk, this is your opponent speaking. Do not lecture me on treaty violations, as this broadcast is intended for mature audiences. In the following podcast, there will be thoughts and opinions expressed that in no way reflect your Federation, this station, website, or affiliated partners.
Who is this? How dare you?
Who I am is not important. Listener discretion is.
You Klingon bastard.
Space. The final frontier. These are the voyages of Starship Tribbles. Her ongoing mission to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new content and new stuff, to boldly go where no podcast has gone before.
Hello and welcome to episode 192 of Tribbles in Ecstasy. I'm your host Midnight Shadow, and with me today is what's left of my red shirt crew.
Hey everyone, Woody Valley here. I'm going to die in a sec since I've got a red shirt on.
This is Zombie.
Well, unfortunately there's only a couple of us. Everybody else is either on shore leave or in sick bay. So, fingers crossed they get better soon. We'll hopefully have a full cast back with you next week. Star Trek Online, a lot of news has come out. First of all, there is a lifetime subscription sale currently going on. So basically, it's knocking a third off. It's now $199. And that's down from $299. So that is ending on the 26th of November. So it's running for another 3 weeks nearly.
Ego Slifers?
I am. Oh, well, on one of my accounts. The rest are all free to play.
Yeah, my one account is already this.
Yeah, I did mine back in December of 2013 when they had a sale on before they'd gone free to play, and it's pretty much now for me, it's pretty much paid for from Skype ins and whatnot, so it doesn't take long to have it all paid for. I think it came to my mass on the top of my head. I did it a long time ago. It was like 14 months. So it might be worth actually going live and if you feel it's a good thing.
Well, you do get quite a lot of perks. You get some extra playable characters, titles, extra costume slots, respec tokens. You get extra skill point boosts. Hip slots, inventory slots, there's a whole heap of things that you get. You get a 1,000-day veteranship, faction-specific EV suit, I think. What else you get?
The Talaxians and the Liberated Borg, I believe, is also in there.
That's right, you get those playable character species as well.
And the veteranships, there's a Tier 5 and a Tier 6 version, so...
Yeah, so I upgraded probably about 2 years ago to a lifetime subscription. I was finally able to get the money together for that.
Yeah, I picked mine up just before Legacy came out.
Okay. Yeah, I got mine on one of these deals to get some extra money.
So did I.
When I did it back in December 2013, the Aussie dollar was a lot more stronger than what it was is now. And it was actually above the US dollar. So it was sort of like getting it for $199. So I think it cost me like $182 or something like that.
Not too bad.
Australian.
So even better deal for you.
Mm-hmm.
Oracle Civil has said that the Maxto client was actually fixed in yesterday's patch. So the withdrawal pains have ceased. But a lot of catching up to do. Yeah. Unfortunately, there's been a lot of problems since the launch last week of Season 11. So, yeah, anybody using a Mac has had problems actually launching the game. And if they were able to get in, after a few minutes, it tended to crash. So, yeah, they put a patch live for it yesterday. So, yeah, it looks like some people are getting in, though.
Yeah. There's one question I've got to ask, though, is with the DOS, everyone probably would be well aware now that going out in sector space, there's not much to choose from these days. They've really taken away, especially the R&D missions from science and exploration. Even in the DOSosphere, it's all gone in there. Now, is that a bug, or is that being deliberately done so everyone gets it all from the Admiralty system?
According to Bordicus, that's a bug, and that they're looking into why all those features, all those particular missions have disappeared. And they haven't, so far, they haven't said anything about fixing it yet.
Yeah, because I know we're going to be talking about it in a sec, but it just hasn't got any mention of it in the release notes. So
yeah,
talk about it when we get closer to the release notes, but yeah.
Well, going back to the events, we've got an event running this weekend, which ends at 10 a.m. Pacific on Monday, November 5th, and November 9th even. It has already gone. That is your Dilithium weekend event, so you get 100% bonus for doing anything at the asteroid. Mining's claims, same with the mining on your fleet mine, 50% bonus anywhere else in game, and of course, as usual, completing the event reputation projects don't actually do anything with those ones. So get in game this weekend if you'd like to get some extra dilithium. I need to try and remember to do some mining. I've got loads of claims. So
it's really great for the Admiralty system too.
Oh yeah, because that's been spitting out a load of stuff. This week we've also seen go live the Mirror Invasion event. So that is now going until November 26th as well, when maintenance begins. So it's the usual space event, and it will help you collect any of the marks that you're after. I know we've had a new reputation. We had the issue last time where the new reputation marks weren't actually available to be claimed, but this time that hasn't been an issue. Although I didn't get to play yesterday due to work, I managed to quickly do it before connecting up this evening, and I did it on advanced, and it reminded me, you know, when they had that problem where literally you'd got all those ships spawning continuously.
Yeah, something similar to the way they did the crystalline event in its early days.
Yeah, it seemed to be doing that, because where you'd actually got the rift, there was just so many ships that you just couldn't, even if you got to the rift straight away to go to close it. It was just spitting out so fast that, yeah, we just couldn't close them quick enough. And then sort of like three rifts opened on top of each other almost. Or, yeah, about 4 or 5 kilometers away from each other. And all of a sudden, yeah, you couldn't move. You couldn't close anything. And it's like, ah.
Yeah, I haven't jumped into the advanced one. I've always, with the Mirror Invasion event, always played it on normal. But yeah, I've heard of people saying, oh, this is just absolutely ridiculous. So it almost seems like they made normal too easy and advanced too hard. I don't know if anyone's actually tried elite, but by the sounds of it, I don't think anyone's touched elite, so...
Is there an actual elite version? Because I thought they left it at just normal and advanced last time. Or did I just not see it?
If they left it out, it's probably a good thing then.
Yeah, probably.
At least it sounds like I'm not the only one.
It does really raise the question of what on earth is QA doing? It almost seems like they've just tested to make sure it works. They don't test it to see if it's actually completable. So it's sort of like, what on earth is QA doing there? You know, not to mention the devs who think of these sort of things.
Well, Alex in chat has said he has mentioned this in the forums and that they're aware of it and thinking about how to compensate for it. Now, whether or not that is for what we're talking about or it's how it's about the Mac, which was part of the previous conversation that was going on a few minutes ago. I'm not quite sure, because of course a lot of people on the Macs, they would have missed out on some of the giveaways, you see.
Yeah, I do know that they in the forums have said that they were going to look into giving the Mac people some compensation for the things that they missed out on while it was down.
So yeah, keep your eyes peeled. Hopefully some information will be released on that soon. They might just be waiting to make sure that everything is stable and that people are able to connect up before doing something, because the last thing they want to do is to arrange something and then people still not being able to get in game, I suppose. Or
they may be looking into what they can do because of the limitations of the engine.
Yeah, it could be that people who have had problems can report in and get maybe codes for it, or they just open up the same rewards again for another week where people can then claim them, I suppose, is another option.
Yeah.
This Thursday's patch also saw the start of the Sunrise Week 2 rewards. So last week we got the Quantum Phase Torpedo, and this week is the Quantum Phase Converter Universal Console.
Yep.
So, remember to do your mission. It'll also give you the chance to either get your tech upgrade or your specialization point as well. That's one of the things that I have liked about the Admiralty system, is the fact that getting quite a few specialization points from that so far.
Yeah, I've picked up a couple of them so far, specialization points, but I haven't gotten a lot of them. I've been getting a lot of dilithium instead. And it's been kind of funny that, again, a lot of dilithium are running the Fed side of the missions.
The main ones that I've picked up dilithium for has been on the KDF track, not the Federation.
See, it's been the opposite for me. My Fed has been maxing out on his KDF track, but usually he gets dilithium packs from his Fed track.
Each of the scales on the Fed side give you a specialization point. So I've been concentrating on that. So I'm about halfway through tier 7 so far.
I'm like 5 on the Fed side on my main, and then on Zet 6 on the Klingon side. But I'm also currently doing the 7th. Tour of duty for the Klingons.
Yeah, I think I'm on 6 now for Federation, I think, and I've done 2 on the Klingons.
Yeah, I've done 5 for the Federation.
I've pretty much been keeping it even with all my characters, and they're both on 5, so with the Klingon and Fed arcs, so steady pace. It's a bit tough because I don't have any ship slots to get some more ships in, and also just with the Klingon side, and it's a bit tough trying to get missions completed when you don't have the right ships for it, especially if you need science. So we won't go into that discussion again.
Well, one of the things that you can do is if you dismiss one of your Sea Store ships, because you can always claim that back at any time, you can then go and claim one at a time, or if you've got multiple sea store ships, just dismiss all of them. Just take all the consoles stuff off that you want first, because you don't want to lose them. And yeah, dismiss those ones that you can claim back easily, and then that way you can get all the other sea store ships that you've got.
And you can do that with also the event ship too. So, and that's what I've done with all of my characters that I can.
No. I've only done it for one character so far. I haven't had the time to go through the rest.
I wasn't real keen on going through the hassle, because you know, I've only got one sea store ship. Well, no, it's actually a token ship. I only got like one sea store. Klingon side's only got one sea store ship. I've mostly been sticking with using the token ships and stuff like that, unless I've already discarded them already. But you know, just trying to create some extra space to put some more ships on, and mostly to be all the free ships I got from the winter and summer event. So I'm being cautious with my money and waiting for a next slot sale to come through, and hopefully get some more slots in to expand my fleet, basically. So it's going to be a bit of a patient game here.
Yeah. As I said, sea store and the event ships you can easily claim back, so that's worth remembering.
Yes, definitely worth remembering.
Fleet projects rerun. As of now, all fleet holdings have got all their special featured projects available to slot. So anything that you missed first time around, or you now want to get now. Some people have maybe some dilithium they want to spend to get your fleet credit. Then now's the time to line them up. So each one is 200,000 dilithium without any discount. Of course, on top of that, you'll have any discount that you have from the mine, which will be up to 15%, plus, of course, anything that you get from your armada. So, yeah, speak to your fleet leaders. There's some feature that you would like. Now, we were just talking about ships. We have had a tweet from Xerneas Rex about 10, 15 minutes ago, actually, I think it was, which has basically just been saying that Dry Dock is now on the Tribble test server for people to play around with. So hopefully it'll be in the next week or two that might actually be released. So, Woody, you'll be able to actually put those into dry dock rather than dismissing if you didn't want to do so.
Well, regardless of what I do and stuff like that, I only got a certain amount of ships I can use until I get some more ship slots, so I'm just probably better off just leaving the riser and winter event ships in their boxes until I get some more slots. So,
well, as we said, you can always either wait dry dock comes along or dismiss those ones, because you can bring them back at any time, and then all you do is you go to the ship's store, get two ships, open them up, dismiss them, and then rinse and repeat. It's what I did. I'd only got two slots free.
Yeah, that's what I did on my fat guy. I only had two slots free, so I rinsed and repeat through every available seashore sea store. Yeah. Sally there. Anyways, through all those ships, both event and sea store.
So you don't have to wait.
Everyone's got their methods to their madness, so this is my madness. So I'm just going to don't worry about discarding ships and just keep going with what I got, and might get lucky and get past, because I've actually have seen something on the line of something using a Mariner class on a very rare mission. It requires, you know, over 100 on each of the particular occupations, and he managed to get a pass out of it. So I haven't had that luck yet, but it is possible.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you can always get lucky. And I've sent my Miranda a couple of times on missions where it's like 210 for the science. I'm like, there ain't no way I'm doing that. So goodbye, Miranda. Have fun.
Yeah, I usually just... to save on those pass tokens, and usually just send it out on a Miranda. If it fails, it doesn't really hurt too much because it only takes like 20 minutes for maintenance. So
I think I've only actually used one pass token and I've still got 26 left, because I've actually been rewarded pass tokens from just doing missions.
Yeah, you're supposed to get a pass ticket every time you are successful in a mission.
So, I've still got 20-odd. So I haven't been doing too badly with them, but I haven't. I've only been firing them off once a day at the most. Unfortunately, work's been so busy that I still haven't played any of the new Cardassian missions. I haven't played the new Ground STF until an hour ago. Hadn't played the Mirror events that came out Thursday, and a load of other missions as well that I still haven't got round to do. But yay, new stuff. And it's like, boo, work. It's just like, why does it always come when something new comes out? It's just like typical. Well, the week before it was nice and quiet. It's just like, can't wait till Thursday.
Yeah, my week has been slammed hard at work this week, so all I've had time is go in and cycle through my 9 admirals, and then not even played any missions this past week.
I know that feeling. Well, they're also currently doing another giveaway. Now, this is actually due to the announcement for the new Star Trek TV show. So, this is now running until this coming Monday, I think it is. Oh no, that was regarding the bonus weekend, wasn't it? So yeah, the free account lock went through. Is it till next Wednesday? Did I read or?
No, the bundle pack was only through Wednesday, November 4th, and the bonus XP was through November 9th. This Monday, this coming Monday. Yeah.
Okay, I've been so busy, I can't actually remember if I even went through and claimed it on my other accounts. How bad is that? Okay, well,
yeah.
If you do...
Sorry, I was just saying this. It's been very, very handy having these expertise weeks and for the last couple of weeks, because I've really been chipping out my... specializations in a way. Very happy about that.
Yeah, I think I'm now 11 or 12 away from actually completing all 4 of them.
Wow.
So, but that's just on one character. So,
hopefully
people were actually able to get that. You were able to get the Enterprise Era bundle pack free, so that included the NX Enterprise standard mirror variant uniforms and the T'Pol jumpsuit. So hopefully we'll make use of that one. Now, of course, on the topic of the TV show, it was officially announced by CBS that we will be getting a new Star Trek series that will be coming in January 2017. Alex Hurtman, who will be serving as executive producer on it. So, if I remember rightly, he's done all sorts of stuff, including, of course, he was one of the people who was behind the JJ's Star Trek 1 and 2. Wasn't he the one who was due to be taking over JJ Abrams with Star Trek 3?
No, that was Orsi.
That was right, yeah.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, he's been involved in things like Transformers, one of the Spider-Man films as well. I think he's actually had some stuff to do with the new Star Trek 4 as well, or 14 for us old Trekkies. He's involved in Hawaii 5-0, Sleepy Hollow. I'm trying to think what else now.
Scorpion and Limitless.
Bringing up his IMDb. Here we go. So, Fringe, Cowboys and Aliens, Alias, Xena Warrior Princess, Hercules, The Legend Journeys. So, yeah, he's been involved in a lot of good shows. So yeah, it'll be interesting to sort of see where this is taken. Now, they haven't said much at all regarding what the show is going to be about. The only thing they have stated is the new television series is not related to the up-and-coming feature film Star Trek Beyond, which I found interesting. They didn't say it's not at all related to anything from the JJ verse. They have only said it's not related to what's happening in Star Trek Beyond. Though we still don't actually know whether or not this series will be based in the Prime verse or JJ verse.
Yeah, the only other thing is they said that it's going to be new characters, so it won't be Kirk and them either. So,
yeah. So we don't know which part of the timeline, because it could still be JJ verse, but based in the timeline that TNG was based on. Or it could be so many things. But yeah, we've had absolutely no information apart from it's not going to be related to Star Trek Beyond, and it'll be out January 17 with Alex Kurtzman heading it up.
Yeah, the last I knew, they didn't even have a writer, so it's kind of hard to say where it's going to fall.
Yeah, I'm sure that there's already some sort of premise, even a pilot behind it, with some sort of rough outline. I doubt they would have given a green light to, yeah, we're just going to do a Star Trek series without it. But of course, yeah, you've always got some people. Saw a tweet talking about a petition on change.org petitioning CBS to cancel the new Star Trek series now.
Wow. They really are. Some people are really passionate, aren't they?
Whether.
It's just like, dear CBS, how dare you? Don't you realise that the most stress-inducing, anxiety-provoking, cruel thing you can do to a Star Trek fan is to announce that you are going to give us a new Star Trek series? And it's just like, seriously? And then he goes, I speak for all Star Trek fans, as will the next guy who comes along, albeit with totally different views, when I say that we know exactly what we want in a Star Trek series. We want it to be socially relevant, action-packed, and set during Captain Kirk's original five-year mission. That we want it to be not too preachy, not too much action, and set 100 years after the Dominion War. There is one thing that we know with 100% certainty, and that is you're going to fuck it up. And I just read that first bit and thought, excuse me? What? And it's just like, and he goes on saying, for this reason, we demand that you cancel the new series now, 14 months before it'll ever see what might have looked like.
Personally, I hope.
It's like, yeah. What the hell? It's like, seriously?
Yeah, I personally hope that nobody signs this thing because, as a Trekkie, I'd much rather see a new Star Trek series, no matter how bad they get it. But if they create it and they start it and then they work on it, it can only get better. If it starts off poorly, it can get better. If it starts off really good, it's going to get better. And I don't know. I'd rather see something than nothing at all.
Yeah. Well, so far it actually has 37 supporters. For some reason, it only needs to reach 100 to do something, whether it's to send a letter. But it's just like, number one, I very much doubt CBS are going to care what 100 people say when there is no information at all about what this is going to be. And what it's going to be like, what it's going to be on, which universe it's taking part in, which part of the timeline it's taking part in. It's just like, shut up.
Or sit there and have a good laugh, really. But yeah, well, it's the thing you probably they don't realise, you know, this is probably going to get picked up on all four corners of the globe. So not only US, but Canada, all the way down central, through South America, across the Oceanic, for Asia, if they're lucky, well, through probably Middle East and through Europe and stuff like that, and you've probably got fans left, right and centre there. And, you know, you'll probably find there'll be quite a few million people probably looking forward to this, and you're going to be screaming about 100 people saying, cancel this. You know, come on.
Well, to be truthful, it's not going to be broadcasted, though. They're going to broadcast the pilot episode, but then all the episodes after that are going to be on their streaming station that they provide. So you would have to pay to be able to see it from that point on. And
their
so,
version of Netflix, in other words.
Yeah. Yeah, so unless, you know, that particular region has the ability to stream from CBS, that nobody's going to be able to see it.
Is in a way, I think it's good, because basically Trekkies basically say with their wallets to CBS, I want to watch it, or no, I don't. And it's bringing, they've actually taken the leap by saying, we are going to move into the way that the 21st century TV is going, which is something that I think every network should be doing. You want something from that network, you pay for it. The only thing that I don't like with the current system is the fact, the way the licensing works, which means, especially from someone in the UK, and with Woody being in Australia, is that most of these things are US only. Sort of, yeah, I hope that they open up their network to a global audience, and because they've got the licensing, it's then open to everybody, get them to subscribe. That's the only thing that I think might be bad about it, but at the end of the day, I'm just going to have to wait and see to what they're announcing, basically.
Yeah, yep. Well, and looking at history of Star Trek on television, especially these days, it's always seemed to have a not terribly crash hot first season, and it starts getting a little bit better when they, you know, change staff and stuff like that, writing crews and whatnot. So hopefully, but these days, usually if there's a bet, doesn't pick up on the first season and usually cancel it. So hope these guys know what they're doing and do it right the first time round.
Well, the thing is, you look at what Alex Kurtzman's actually done with things like Sleepy Hollow and some of these other sort of science fiction and fantasy sort of things, and a lot of things he's behind I really enjoy, and sort of they're sort of character based good stories, and as long as he brings that to the new Trek series, I think I'll be happy with it. But I'm going to at least wait until it comes out before just saying cancel it. I just think this guy just is just like, oh, find a hobby.
Maybe that is his hobby, canceling shows before they start.
Just like
that, or he's a fan of one of those crowdfunded things continues or new voyages.
Yeah, because there's been a lot of people going, oh, why don't they pick up one of these fan productions? It's just like, no, they're going to do their own thing with their own people. Just like,
yeah, not to mention the way that things have been going lately, especially with the influence of J.J. Abrams, you probably find that what they do with Voyages 2 and continues, and even with Axonar and whatnot, and all the others that are kind of floating around, they're not going to be wanting to do that. They've noticed that all the money's been coming in from JJ, so they're going to keep that sort of feel to it of what JJ has done. Yes, people might not like it, but it's better than no Star Trek on TV at all. Or on your computer screen, pretty much by the sounds of it.
Thing is it's very unlikely they'd ever pick up a fan production because of just rights, for a start. So most of these things have been financed by fans. Then you've got the people behind it. So yes, the licensing rights goes with them, but sort of, then it's just opening things up. Well, who does own? Because usually if you come up with an idea, you'll do certain rights. It's like why we can't get stuff in Star Trek Online. Certain people own rights to certain things that have appeared in Star Trek. So even though CBS owns the Star Trek rights, they still don't own the rights to everything that's appeared in it. And they can't give that away to things like Star Trek Online without special agreements. So, yeah, to pick up a fan production is probably going to be some huge sort of legal landmine that yeah, there's no way they're going to touch that. And I think the G&T show have talked about this on many occasions. So, yeah. And, of course, Renegades, they tried to do that. The idea of their Kickstarter was to create a pilot to take to CBS for a new Star Trek series. And they turned around and said, no. Now, we never got exactly what those reasons were. But, yeah, I think it might be something related to that.
Well, yeah, well, now we pretty much know.
And also this way, if CBS, you know, avoids the whole legal landmine, but they also, they create it. Therefore, it gives Star Trek Online the option, or the, at least the a much better option and capability of bringing whatever is in that series into the game.
Well, yeah. Always, as I said, it depends on where it is in the timelines and which universe. Because, of course, if it's in JJ-verse, then it's very unlikely it can be touched. Because the way we are in the Prime universe, I'm not sure. Then part of the rights for what's been happening are to do with Paramount, not just CBS.
Right, but if they're going to create the series, they're going to create it in such a way that Paramount can't stop them or control what they're doing. It only makes sense on CBS's part.
Yeah, so but because they might do something like sharing the rights, or they may have access to use the rights in the TV series, but nothing else. So anything else that they license out won't have access to it. The thing is, we just don't know. But I think it would probably be very unlikely that if it was JJ-verse that there'd be anything that could be used in Star Trek Online. But there's also the thing that, okay, if they do something after the Dominion War, which is where basically everything was left off before we went back to the prequel of Enterprise, then, well, how does that affect Stow? Because it's already got into its own storyline with an which is sort of completely established for over 5 years, that even if they base it in between then and now, going back to sort of fit that in may not be that easy, especially as it'll be an evolving series, hopefully over many years.
Well, the thing I'm thinking about it is that even if they can't pull like what's going on in the storyline into STO, what they can do is take the assets that show up in there, like the new ship classes and new ship designs that we don't have, they can add it in that way. And the uniforms, all nine yards, and just make it as part of the past. And then we always have the ability to time travel, and we always already proven that we can hop universes as it is. So there's a possibility of that going on too.
Yeah, could do. That's yeah, hopefully they'll start releasing some more information. But yeah, as of yet, all we know is the date, who's executive producer, and it's got nothing to do with Star Trek Beyond.
Yeah, and since it's not going to come out until 2017, they've got a lot of time to iron out what exactly they're going to do and then start feeding us tidbits.
Yeah, well, looking forward to it. Okay, finally, the Tier 6 Defiant. Yay! I just need to find money to buy it.
Oh, I like it. It came with also Romulan and Klingon versions too.
Yeah, because usually when we get these sort of packs, it's just been fed only. But nobody plays Romulan and Klingon. I don't hear Sun Seal saying anything, or Dragon, so yeah, it must be true.
What? They don't have holes to poke in this thing? Oh my goodness.
That'll teach him to miss a show.
Damn.
I think that this is going to be their model going forward because of the Admiralty system. Because if they release something for the Feds and they don't release something for the Klingons and the Romulans, you know, the Klingons and Romulans are going to fall behind in the Admiralty system. If they want to support that across all the factions, they're going to have to keep them, neck and neck all the way through from here on out. Or as close to it as possible, at least for anything new that they come up from this point on.
Well, yes and no. They could always release a card for a ship that isn't actually a ship in game, because they already do that anyway, and they've already said for special ships they will do that. So they could always release a ship that if somebody buys, say, the Defiant, and they didn't, it didn't have the Romulan and Klingon version, that if you had a character who had access to the Admiralty system, it would just automatically give you a card for a penned version of them that doesn't actually appear in the game as a playable ship. But they could always do that.
They could, but I think they'd set themselves up for a huge furor from the Star Trek community, you know, the online community.
Only thing is, just... they're trying... Ships is how they make most of their money, and they're going to always make more Fed ships than they are Klingon and Romulans. So I don't think for every Fed ship they bring out that they will bring out an alternative for both factions. I don't think that's always going to be the case.
Well, to me, I think they're going to come out with, you know, if they do a T6 Defiant version, they're going to do one for the, you know, a T6 version for the Klingons and Romulans. But with the Feds, they may make a Defiant Science version, a Defiant Tactical version, and a Defiant Ops version, but only still come up with only one version for the Klingons and the Romulans. And in that way, they can have more ships available to be sold, and they'll have more cards that way, but they still will be more or less keeping all the sides, you know, neck and neck.
Who knows? But yeah, we now have the Valiant class Tactical Escort, which, as we said, is tier 6. And you've then got the Core Bird of Prey and Malum Light Warbird. So they all come with sort of their own consoles. They've also got a new material. So they've remodeled, of course, the Defiant. It looks a sort of mixture between the Defiant and, is it the Peregrine?
The Peregrine fighter, I think, is what you're referring to. But
yeah,
I thought of them as a mix between the pilot ships and the Defiant.
You know, yeah, I sort of thought of that first, but then when you look at the sort of almost wings, it looked more like the Peregrine fighter than it did, I thought, of the pilot ships.
Yeah, but I don't know. I guess the overall look, it gave me more of a feel of the pilot ships. And the look and the feel of it, how it flies, it seemed more pilot-y than Defiant.
Now, this is a bundle pack, so you do have the option to buy all three, which will give you a discount. And just remember, it'll more than likely work the same way if you actually buy one ship and then you would like to buy the pack, you won't be able to. So you just have to then buy the other two separately as well.
Would you guys see it as return of the escorts to domination with these ships?
No, I think the reason this has been brought out is it was probably been on the schedule for a while because it's always been a huge favourite by a lot of people.
True.
Also, what we're doing now with the storyline, it has been based around Deep Space Nine, so of course, again, the Defiant. So I think that's why that's being released now. I don't think it's sort of looking to do sort of more escorty things. So now this starship does actually feature a Lieutenant Commander Tactical/Pilot Specialist seat. So can use some of your piloting abilities on it, although I don't think it actually has the pilot option of the roles and things.
No, it doesn't have the pilot ship abilities, but it has the pilot BOF abilities accessible.
Yeah. Alex is asking something in chat. He's asking, so would you have to buy a Fed ship you're never going to use just to get the Klingon Romulan Admiralty ship? In which universe does that make sense? T6 Defiant, Bird of Prey, Tavaro were one of the last things the data miners found.
It only if you buy the whole thing. You can buy each ship individually, but and then you don't have to buy the Fed that way.
Yeah, so you can buy just one of them or two of them. You don't have to buy them as a pack. Right. You usually get a is it a ship free if you buy a pack? Does it work out that? I can't remember.
Yeah, you get, if you buy it as a pack, then you're paying for two and getting the third one for free.
Yeah. So yeah, definitely worth to do that if you can spare the Zen. So, Zombie, have you actually got the ship yet?
No, I have not. I've just been watching other people flying them. It's a little outside of my price range right now.
Oh, know the feeling.
The thing I thought was interesting when looking between all three of these ships, that the Romulan ship is actually more science, or at least has more science consoles than tactical consoles, which made it more of a science-y type ship, or at least I'm hoping that that's the Admiral card will come up that way.
Interesting. I must admit I hadn't had taken a huge look at the stats just yet.
And these all also come with fleet versions, which add to the tactical.
I was just having a quick look at consoles. Yeah, the Fed ship is 5 tactical, 3 engineering, 3 science, whereas the Klingon and the Romulan.
Yeah, the fleet version is 5-3-3.
Yeah.
The Klingon's a 4-4-3, and the Romulan's a 4-3-4, and the fleet versions.
No, it's, lots of people have been crying out for more science, though. So hopefully that will please them.
Hopefully.
Oh, and push your luck, because, you know, with past discussions even we had on this show, it's sort of like a really need to push more of a science ship more than just a science slot.
Yeah.
Well, we've also had the next role-playing blog out. This is Utopia Planitia Report number 3. So we also hear a bit from Kurland, because it's about the Defiant back at Mars being repaired after what happened in the Midnight episode. So, yeah, I shall not ruin it for you if you haven't read it. It's a nice story. Definitely worth reading.
Yeah, I didn't even know this one had come out yet.
Yeah, it came out a few hours ago.
I'm definitely going to have to take a look at it.
Same here.
They've also released an interview with Chase Masterson regarding her role as Lita within New Dawn. An interview done by Stephen Rokossa, who's the executive producer of Star Trek Online. And they talk about sort of various things, including sort of her work in some other TV shows and also her work for the charity stuff that she does against anti-bullying. So she talks about all those things.
Yeah,
have you guys seen this video yet?
Fortunately not. I might have a listen after we do the show.
I watched it once and found it interesting, but I haven't had time to go through it a second time yet.
Okay, well, if you haven't watched it already, I will include the links in our show notes so you can take a look yourself. Now, this week's release notes, well, we actually have some. The last lot was a bit light. But that was sort of expected. So they've been resolving a load of issues to do with Terran and Akonian Daily Mark reward packs. They were sharing sort of the same requirements, so they can now be earned separately instead of sort of overruling the other one. We've also got issues that are preventing KDF Dilithium starships from receiving their new discounts that we talked about the other week. They've resolved some issues to do with sort of graphics card crashes. We've also had an issue with the quantum phase torpedo shield heals improperly factoring the tier of the firing ship, which was causing things not to work. They've reduced the targeting arc of the quantum destabilizing beam from 180 to 135 degrees. That's to match the deflected dish powers. The rewards for PvE queues of Terek Nor and Counterpoint have both been increased. As we mentioned, I think it was last week, a lot of people have been complaining about the rewards given out. So they've also sort of changed a couple of other bits, like free spawn points in the Badlands and things like that, just to make sure people in the correct place. Was there anything that you guys saw in the patch notes that thought needed special attention at all?
Only the thing that's not in the show notes is about the what I mentioned at the beginning of the show of there's nothing mentioned about with the Doth side of things, the issue with the Doths. It's not even mentioned in the known issues. So it's all like, come on guys, what's happening here? Yeah,
hopefully they can pad out the known issues a little bit more with other problems like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's it for Star Trek Online news. We still have to sort of review all the new Season 11 content, but sort of as we're missing half the crew, and I still actually haven't had time to play it all, we shall leave that till next week, I think.
Okay, if we must.
Well, it means we can have a proper sort of conversation about it, and sort of as...
We got to have the resonant hole picker in here, huh?
Yeah. But it's just, well, I haven't played it. You said that you've been busy at work. May as well sort of wait until we can actually have a proper talk about it, so we're not sort of just saying the same things the week after. I just think that makes a load more sense.
Yeah, just had to poke fun.
Just want to say thank you to everyone who has helped Mav out with his medical recovery fund. As we sort of mentioned last week, his power had been cut and sort of, yeah, had some more problems with his medication. And
yeah, I've got it pulled up here at the moment. He hasn't mentioned anything about having the power back on, but he's gone over the $3,000 target he's got at the moment, and probably looking towards $4,000 now. So, you know, it's still going to be very helpful for him if people can give some donations there. But on the other news is everything's stable at the moment. Thank you for everyone donating from the promise he had from last week. On the excite, we'll put it this way for this week. He's starting a second attempt on treating my kidney disease, yet another new new medication. There is one I can take at home, but there are concerns of side effects and other issues, but we are taking them as they may appear if they happen. Staying positive and hoping for no complications. So he's still keeping positive about it all, so which is good.
Yeah, I briefly spoke to him yesterday, and the new treatment is due to start last night. So fingers crossed, he doesn't have the same sort of reaction that he did last time. So yeah, we will keep people posted, but fingers crossed the new treatment actually works and you can start healing and sort of being home and eventually getting back to work, which you know you'd like to be. Then after that, sort of getting back into sort of podcasting and having fun with the rest of us. So, but yeah, again, thank you to all those who did last week, did actually donate. It's been a sort of massive help. I know it's appreciated very much. And even if you cannot donate at all, please just share the message. That can help just as much. On to Star Trek news. Internity, we've sort of mentioned about that the last sort of few weeks now. This is the new sort of comedy program about doctors, which will be starring Marina Sirtis, and Victor will be Michael Dorn. They're still looking to raise their funds and have just over a week left, and they still have quite a bit to go to reach their 100,000 mark. So go and have a look. If you're a fan of Stargate Universe, Supernatural, you've also got some of the crew are from those series as well. So head over to Indiegogo and just search for Internity TV. And have a look what it's all about. yeah, if it's something that you like, then please help them out. Fifth passenger, they're still currently looking to sort out their VFX campaign. Their target is 65,000 and they've got 6 days left. And they've still got a fair amount to go as well. So far they've raised a little over 11,000. So yeah, please check that out, because they're trying to sort of improve the film and make it look good for when it's released. If you're not sure what Fifth Passenger is about, then you can head over to fifthpassenger.com, which will take you to their Indiegogo campaign. Or you can listen back to episode 188, which was the last time that we interviewed them. Star Trek Renegades. They're currently working on funding for episodes 2 and 3 and have a Kickstarter for it. Their main target is 350,000, which will get the production going for episode 2. And then they have various stretch goals after that. And that, of course, will cover the production of episode 3. And following that will be funds for the post-production of episodes 2 and 3. And if they do really well and max that out, they're looking to also create a new bridge for the main ship, Icarus. So, yeah, there's 26 days to go on that campaign. So, yeah, if you'd like to see more of Renegades, then please check them out. The final project that has an update this week is actually Captain Pike. We spoke to them back in episode 169. They got funding sorted for Act 1, which was their first campaign that they did with an Indiegogo after the failed Kickstarter. So, but yeah, Act 1 is paid for, but of course they're looking to sort out now Act 2. So that's what they're currently looking out for. So yeah, Act 1 is due to be around 30 minutes, and Act 2 will probably be around the same, to sort of make it into a short movie. Now, Woody, you've actually got some news from Down Under.
Sure have. Some people in Australia might have heard of this, but there's a company here, like a small business, that does Star Trek-style conventions called Austrek, and they're going to have their 12th one at the beginning of next year. They've got three guests, actors, Gates McFadden, Robert Ricardo, and John Billingsley. So you got the theme of what's going on there with having three doctors coming about. It's been held in Melbourne on the 30th of January 2016 at the State Library, I believe. I don't know if that's been confirmed for Melbourne. But Sydney, it's the following day on the 31st of January 2016 at the Bankstown Sports Club. The VIP tickets is $500. If you've got a partner with you, you can get them in for $120. I think there might be some conditions behind that. Just read the fine print. And just general admission is $120 with optional photo ops and autographs. I think you pay extra for. So, yeah, so that's what's happening in Australia with convention-wise, and especially with now with the 50th next year, I think it'd be a good feel and vibe and get in the spirit of the 50th anniversary. So there you go. Tickets, I believe, are on sale now. Back to you at the studio. You there?
I'm there. Midnight seems to be muted.
I'm just talking to myself. I pressed the key. I just obviously didn't press it properly. Yeah.
Entertaining so, podcasting.
Indeed. Well, the remastering will remove that out, so so yeah, I was talking to myself, where I had been saying that we have got some feedback on the Star Trek Online forums. Now we have got a few posts which include feedback from Alex, who's currently in our chat, Sisteric. Only thing is they're both in-depth bits of feedback, which unfortunately I have not had time to get to due to work commitments. So, yeah, we will cover that next week. So thank you for your feedback. Please, if you've ever got anything you want us to bring up, please do reply to our posts, and we will of course bring it up in the show.
Forget that Sesteric is me, so.
Oh, of course it is. Yeah, I haven't seen you in the forums that much.
I've been a little more vocal this past week.
That's good, because I've actually not been in the forums at all this week. Yeah, work's been so busy that I haven't even been able to do any forum moderation at all, or anything else in the forums. Today was the first time that I went in, which was just to see what feedback there were and to have a look at all my notifications. So, yeah, just haven't had a chance. But, yeah, Alex, sorry, we will get to your feedback next week. But thank you again for getting in touch.
Yeah, that was my my part of the what I wrote is in response to him, so I hope he took the time to read it.
Now, Alex, just remember, Sun Seal's not here. She didn't poke any holes in anything, so it doesn't mean you start poking holes in her now, okay?
Okay, I think that's it then for this week. So we shall be back at the usual time next week. And you can, of course, catch us all over the interwebs. You can get us on Twitter at Tribbles in XTC, and that's also the same for Facebook, just Tribbles in XTC. Reddit, again, please don't bother with anymore, because although I haven't deleted the page, it will be due to the ridiculous problems with them. Google Plus and Star Trek Riser, just search for Tribbles in XTC. You'll find us there. We are, of course, syndicated on trekradio.net and subspace-radio.net every Wednesday. So we will be back at 7 o'clock Eastern next Friday, and hopefully you can join us live. We always appreciate comments in chat. So until next week, goodbye, everyone.
Later.
And enjoy the game.
iTunes and Stitcher Satellite Radio for our remastered shows and more. You can follow us on Twitter at Tribbles in XTC, or if you have any questions or comments, please send an email to tribblesinextasy@gmail.com. Join us next week for another episode of Tribbles in XTC, the only place where Tribbles and Klingons are friends.